So the reading we saw on the screen was from Revelation 21, as you saw. And Revelation is an extraordinary, imaginative portrayal of the spiritual realities underlying our world. At its heart is the understanding that the world is a spiritual battleground in which the forces of evil often seem victorious. In war, which is seldom a clean struggle between good and evil, and always, almost certainly, involves large-scale civilian deaths, evil is given every opportunity to flourish. In the book of Revelation, the power that stands against God's people and his reign is called Babylon. But there have been lots of Babylons since then. Revelation 21 gives us a vision of hope. Babylon will fall. As we reflect on the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, there are three things that those verses from Revelation can say to us today. Firstly, we cannot save ourselves. World War I was the first conflict where war happened on an almost industrial scale. The poet Wilfred Owen spoke of those who die as cattle. And we feel conflicted about that war today. And we're hesitating about celebrating it as a victory because we're painfully aware of its cost, as those 92 names show. They're evidence of that. We know it wasn't, as H.G. Wells once called it, the war to end all wars. The Allies won that war, but in trying to maintain peace, the seeds of new conflicts were born. For Christians, war can only ever be a last resort to prevent an even greater evil. It never achieves a good end by itself. Even in peacetime, we're always battling, aren't we, against our own flawed human natures. It's important to fight injustice and to live the best lives we can. But the Bible is clear, we cannot save ourselves. As St. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 7, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. That's why Jesus needed to die on the cross, to take care of the sin in our lives and to make a way for us to be in a relationship with God that we cannot achieve by our own efforts. So we cannot save ourselves. But secondly, we are promised a better future. The soldiers, sailors and airmen who fought, the men and women who kept things going at home, in shops, factories and farms, they were fighting for something they believed in. Many of them went through terrible times, but most of them believed that it was worth it. One of the great gifts of God to humankind is hope. We look for something better beyond the trials of life. As Christians, we believe that Jesus conquered death when he rose from the grave after being crucified. And he offers that new life to us if we want to accept it. He is our proof that there is always hope. Death can be defeated, and a new life, both here on earth and when we die, is possible. The struggle to live at peace now is hard. Even though we're not at war in this country, thank God, we all struggle with our own selfish human natures and the conflict that can arise between us as a result. In a wider context, poverty, ignorance and injustice continue to need to be defeated. But as Martin Luther King said, I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war, that the bright daylight of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word. Hope is the divine gift of discontent with how the world is and a desire to change it. So the world cannot save ourselves, but we are promised a better future. And finally, all our hope is in God. The Bible is a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. And Revelation 21 is about the end. The story begins in a garden in which God walked with Adam and Eve and ends in a city where he walks with every kind of person. The city is perfect because it comes down out of heaven. God will dwell there forever. Every tear will be wiped away and everything will be made new. When the war ended in 1918, many people hoped the world would be a better place. But Revelation tells us we cannot build a perfect world without God. We don't know how or when God will bring this new creation to completion. But we do see glimpses of it here on earth, when the glory of the future breaks through into the present, when healing takes place, when an act of heroism saves lives, when kindness and compassion enable someone in despair to go on living, when a holy discontent with the way things are lead to lasting change in society. We saw a film just now of different people reading the words of Revelation 21. Each of them represents someone for whom the hope of Jesus, the hope that Jesus offers, has become real. Jesus spoke of the grain of mustard seed that grows into a tree, the tiny piece of yeast that causes the whole lump of dough to rise. One by one, as people catch a vision of God's future, the world begins to change. At the moment, we live in the era of the now and not yet. The kingdom of God breaking through at times, but at others, we have to accept that we live in the reality of a fallen world where evil appears to flourish and suffering affects us all. God's promise is that the old order of things will one day pass away and he'll make everything new. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. As we pay our respects today to all those who have lost their lives or have been deeply affected by war in other ways, and as we pray for peace in our world, we can look forward to that day. Amen.